listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Full disclosure, or not, I don't know if it's really that much of a disclosure, more it's like a fun fact. I actually suffer from sleep paralysis and have done so for about 20 so years or something. And it's freaky as fuck. It's so weird. And every time feels like the first time. And I didn't even know it was called sleep paralysis until like 5 years after I started having those episodes. So that was even more fun.
You just wake up and you can't move?
Can't move. You
did you have the shadow people and stuff too?
Well, no. What happens is that you can start hearing your TV, because I sleep with my TV on sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can start hearing what's ever playing on your TV, and then you start to feel like air brush against you, and you start hyperventilating because you forget that it's an episode, and then obviously you need to calm yourself down, and then you start moving your pinky. Oh. And as soon as you can
get out of it.
Yeah, as soon as you start moving your pinky, think, okay, I'm going to get out of this. So this movie was definitely, if there's ever a horror movie you can relate to, for me,
it's hitting a little close to home, specifically your bedroom.
It's a little close to home. Yeah. I haven't had an episode in about since last year, I guess. So that's okay. But we're talking about not just sleep paralysis. We're talking about sleep paralysis in the new movie Come True, which is a sort of horror sci-fi blend starring Julia Sarah Stone, Landon Liburayan, I'm not saying that right, Carly Riske, and Christopher Hetherington. And it's written and directed by Anthony Scott Burns.
And edited and cinematography by.
And everything else.
By Anthony Scott Burns. His last one was something called Our House, which I feel like I've heard of. This has been getting a lot of positive buzz. It's basically about a teenage runaway played by Julia Sarah Stone, who agrees to take part in a sleep study. She's monitored. She goes to this place every single night. And she's hooked up to these electrodes and in this really, really weird sleep study outfit, which actually does look really comfy now I'm thinking about it. As the study progresses, she starts seeing shit, really weird shit, really creepy Slenderman looking type dudes in her dreams. And as one would expect in a movie like this, the line between fantasy and reality, the real world and the sleep world, the dream world, starts to blur.
It says, though her dreams come true.
Almost. Yeah. Anyways, I'm Frank, and with me, I've got TC.
Hey.
Loane.
Hey, how's it going?
And Robert.
Hey, everybody.
So what'd you guys make of this?
Somebody likes young.
Someone's
that's the first thing I thought. Somebody has spent way more time with like psychology texts than I ever would have. Yeah. And I don't mean that like negatively. I mean, this is clearly something that the creator put a lot of thought into and how things are going to be represented.
Mm-hmm. There is a good attention to detail for some of the dream stuff,
right?
Particularly a lot of the imagery starting upside down,
right?
Because the way we perceive images, it's then flipped in our eye sockets. Mm-hmm. But a lot of dream imagery is going to be upside down, so that's a good attention there. Yeah, you're not wrong, Loane, that there's certainly some study here.
Yeah, it's a really smart movie, and it looks good. I mean, it's creepy. Like genuinely creepy, like watching this in the dark, I'm like, oh, that's a little unnerving. And I don't usually deal with that very often because I see horror movies all the time. But this one was like genuinely creepy because there's a, well, I hate to say it, dreamlike quality to what's going on, right?
Yeah.
You spend a lot of time trying to figure out what's real and what isn't.
Well, it's also because even the real world looks like one foot is in actual reality and the other foot is sort of like
right.
a little bit off the ground. Like something is off about that.
Yeah.
There's a steely cold quality to the world that we experience in this film. Very blue,
yeah.
very icy, and a lot of isolation. There's not, mm-hmm. there's like no extras in this movie.
Yeah.
Every location is very large while also feeling very like claustrophobic. Because it's a movie that deals with dreams, it does create a bit of questioning what is real, what isn't. Is this a nightmare? Is this reality?
That's a technique I really appreciate when a movie can do that. man, the effect is huge. I think the last time I saw that done this effectively was probably the Elijah Wood version of Maniac. Did anybody watch that?
Oh, sure.
They made L.A. look like almost like a ghost town. It was so like desolate. Mm-hmm. And man, that just heightened the effect of that movie. And I think the same thing here. Robert, what'd you think?
I really dug the look. There's some cool stuff in here, just visual wise, that, you know, like you're talking about doing the effective dream stuff. The first two images that jump to my mind are, one, our protagonist waking up on the slide, which is just kind of eerie, kind of sad, kind of dreamlike. It's kind of seems plausible, but it's just such an odd image, you know? And then also seeing her later in the film walk down the street while she's being portably monitored. Mm-hmm. Those are just two great pieces of wow, look at that. And I really dug the music. Yes. It's Electric Youth and Pilot Priest.
Yeah.
And it's one of the few movies that uses not only score or pushing it with electric stuff, but there's also, I guess, technically what you would call songs in the film that are done by the same two people that are behind it. And there's a lot of music and there's a lot of rises. And I really dug it because in a sci-fi movie, in place of the jump scares or the cat jumping out, they just use music to like seriously hype and punctuate some stuff and then just cut it.
Yeah.
It tingles.
That's exactly.
I think that adds to the disorienting effect of what they're trying to do on screen. So I really dug the way it looked, the way it was shot. And the music was great.
You're right about that. In fact, there's only like maybe like one or two jump scares that are meant to be jump scares, and they don't come till like near the end.
Yeah.
Like the music is what really, it's so consuming. It really just, you know, just pulls you in. It doesn't let you go.
It's literally unnerving.
Yeah.
You can feel it. It's weird. Yeah.
It's atmospheric. It is chilling. And it makes, I didn't look into this, but there are frequencies that we can perceive that you can't technically hear.
Yeah.
But your brain perceives them. Mm-hmm. A good example of this, and I know it's really random, but Marilyn Manson scored Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. And the way he scored the movie is he had his dog in his sound studio. And whenever he hit a frequency where the dog started freaking out, even though he couldn't hear it, he put it in the score.
Oh, and right.
A lot of the chills and just unsettling creepiness that comes through this atmospheric tonal score, it really carries a lot in this movie.
Infrasound.
That's the word. Thank you.
Yeah. And so a lot of, I don't know if it's in Midsommar, but there's a couple banger movies from the last 5 or 6 years where the composers have talked about adding stuff to the low end for the exact same reason.
We're going to mess you up.
The real high stuff in your lizard brain is the baby crying, and the real low stuff is the lion coming.
Oh, all right.
And either one of those juxtaposed against normal stuff, like you said, it's I don't know if I'm okay right here stuff. And I thought it was effective. It, like you said, it's imposing. The score got just really notched up a couple times. And then when you get to scenes like when we're in the club for a minute, I liked how loud that was because it was almost like a respite, because not that you knew or didn't know something bad was going to happen, but it was this feeling that didn't feel like the ceiling was coming down on top of you.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And then again, when you cut out of it, just the slightest little bit of pad violin or stuff in the back just instantly brought you back in.
There's occasionally the chapter headings. There was 4 chapters in the movie that, and everything would, when it hit those chapter markers, all the sound would just be sucked out. It would just be a black screen and the title would come up for what the chapter is going to be. And every time it was like,
oh. Yeah, it was so, there's so much about this movie that's so, it's just so surreal. It, you're always a little off guard. You can't call this movie.
No.
And I really mean that. Like, I'm thinking right now about that scene when she wakes up in the laundromat. That lady that wakes her up is so off-putting. Like, there's something just off about her, even.
Are you an evil gypsy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's something. I don't know if it's the contacts that she has on or whatnot, but there's nothing in this film that ever feels quite right.
Even the lead, who is attractive high school girl-ish, but everything about her is also slightly off. Mm-hmm. You know, she's got the kind of punk haircut, and she's very clearly got this weird home life that we're not getting, and she just physically looks slightly alien. Yeah. And I don't mean that like in a really negative way, but just even just her being her, she feels outside of what's going on. Yeah,
there's something hypnotic about her,
right? Like, she doesn't quite fit.
She's not cookie cutter in any way.
No.
It feels like it's becoming this requirement of some of the better horror movies we've got in the past 5, 6, 7 years mm-hmm. of having slightly non-traditional, very engaging lead actresses. Mm-hmm. Like Anya Taylor-Joy comes to mind, where she's sure. beautiful, but there's something weird about it.
Yeah.
And I think the same can be said about our protagonist in this, where she's, her eyes are just hypnotic and there is a look about her where it's weird in yeah. a great way.
Yeah.
She really did look disgustingly tired through the whole movie. Like mm-hmm. they really did that. This is kind of jokey, but I don't know if you guys have seen Meet the Robinsons.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Under the eyes. Her eyes kind of reminded me of the little boy in the orphanage that mm-hmm. can't sleep because he's always keeping him up. Mm-hmm. She really looked like she had not slept.
Yeah.
She actually, I really appreciated that sort of androgynous look mm-hmm. that she had about mm-hmm. her. It just really, really adds to that sort of like you she can't be like pegged or she's just this being in a way, this sort of like vessel that all this is happening to her.
Yeah. There's a benefit in casting non-recognizable actors in films like this because then they are these characters.
Yeah.
By stunt casting something or having a more mainstream horror movie that's going to have names you recognize, that comes with some preconceived notions or some baggage of that actor or actress. So to have all these unrecognizable faces turning interesting and good performances more or less across the board, it's helpful to this film being its own thing by not having those faces you recognize.
Yeah. I want to talk about some of the other performances here because I really, really enjoyed Carly Riske as Anita. I really liked the way that her character was very calm and was really sort of reassuring in the beginning with the experiment and then just slowly, continuously just sort of like was stripped away of all that and just was pulled into the nightmare herself. And I loved what she did with that, the way that she brought that journey out for the character. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Did anybody else stand out to you?
One of them that sort of stood out to me was the ostensibly the guy in charge of the project, mm-hmm. the guy that they barely interact with, that mostly sits by himself.
A bit on the nose, but Dr. Myers.
Dr. Myers.
Yeah.
He's the Charlie. He's the Charlie and there is angels, I guess, of the whole scenario.
I was going to say the guy with the glasses slightly bigger than yours, Loy.
His glasses, I think like that's such an interesting touch because they're right out of the 1960s in a way. It's like,
yeah. Well, dude, when he's sitting there with those glasses and he's watching the monitor and I kept thinking of, because he looks like he's several decades behind in terms of what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He looks like whenever they have Nazi scientists that survived World War II that show up in like movies in the 60s and the 70s.
Yeah.
That's what he reminded me of, with the glasses and the cut and the sort of demeanor. Mm-hmm. Like all he was missing was a slight German accent to just go all the way there.
Are that? Tell me which
that. Yeah. And so that
bring me the subject.
Yeah, right. And so that also adds to this sort of suspicion of what's going on because he feels out of place. Mm-hmm. And what's going on is never really clear within the study. Like the protagonist asks directly, what exactly are you doing? What are you shooting for? And they're like, yeah, we can't tell you, which is valid if it's a study. You know, you don't want to skew your results. But it just, everything about it feels suspicious in this context.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And so you're on edge because you don't know what's going to happen to your protagonist. You like her. She seems pretty good. Her life has been rough and you don't want things to get worse, but everything just feels off.
The stakes are raised even more when they, the ones in charge, lose control of the experiment. Mm-hmm. They don't have the reins anymore. Things have just gone in a way that no one predicted. That's where the tension really started getting heightened for me personally.
Sure. When Jeremy or Riff gets involved.
Yeah.
I liked how they doled that out with the sleep study. Mm-hmm. With the Dr. Lewin, what I really like too is when the other cats push it a little too far and he comes down on them. Mm-hmm. That's not in any of the other movies with that character.
Right.
It's that dude that's doing it.
Right.
That gets caught by the underlings. That's, oh my God, what are you doing? So I thought that was cool too because it was another, oh, obviously he's the bad guy. Oh, wait, is he being righteous even though this is kind of crazy? Like, what's mm-hmm. really going on? So
they avoid cliches throughout this movie.
Oh, there's nothing cliched about this film whatsoever.
Yeah, they subvert a lot of expectations. Yeah.
Until
We've got some because we have some thoughts on the ending, and by the ending I mean the very, very last moments of the film, which we're going to save for after final thoughts. But why don't we get started on those? TCs, you want to start?
Some quick hit notes before I get into just my final thoughts. Sure. Here. Full frontal dude nudity in this twice. There's avoiding a cliche there. There's no. Gratuitous female shots.
No.
Right?
No.
But we get two dong shots. So for those who are interested in that sort of thing, I thought that was nice.
Yeah, I thought that was quite nice as well. So yeah.
As I was watching it as it's coming along, I thought, man, this is Kubrick. This feels like Kubrick. And then in the hospital, she's in room 237. So I was like, knew it.
Yeah.
Modern horror has found a really chilling vein in the past, I'll say, decade. These are not people who are inspired by slashers like Jason Voorhees or Freddy Krueger. These are people who are inspired by Stanley Kubrick. These type of horror movies that we've been getting, like Hereditary or The Witch, It Follows, Neon Demon, Midsummer, these are clearly inspired by dark psychological elements and not bloody, disgusting slashers. This type of horror movie has something to say. And whether or not you understand, or if we're meant to understand what is trying to be said, is up for debate. Freddy Krueger isn't scary. He's startling and he's funny, but horror of that ilk is just dumb. And I know that might sound offensive to some, but nobody's seeking deeper themes or meaning or exploring humanity and all its psychological nuances in movies where blood is getting splattered every 10 to 15 minutes. That's just not happening. Once upon a time, these ideas were scary. Like the ideas of Nightmare on Elm Street, but we've gone so far beyond that. But the ideas of your nightmares becoming a reality somehow, that idea is still terrifying. And Come True is chilling and atmospheric. It's unsettling. And unsettling to me is far creepier and more haunting. If It Follows or The Shining is your jam, dear listener, this movie is for you. And if you're familiar with something like Local 58, if you're not familiar with that and you like weird, unsettling, creepy stuff, I highly recommend checking out Local 58 and this movie. It kept me engaged throughout. The cinematography, the score, the imagery, the performances, are particularly for this genre, are great. But if you're looking for slasher stuff, this isn't for you. Or if you're looking for clear answers, this is not for you. Because as someone who doesn't like horror movies, for something to win me over like this is a rarity. And I enjoyed this movie until the end. And I was surprised by it until the end.
You weren't surprised by that ending?
I asked myself, how could this end? And there was one option. And I'm like, I swear to God, you'll lose, mate. But the thing is, though, I'm still thinking about this movie and it's challenging me, I'm not pissed off by it. And I think that says a lot, particularly about a movie that has twists and turns. So I know that's a lot to be said, but when it comes down to it, I dig this movie and I'm going to give Come True 6 out of 10 hours of sleep I missed overthinking the ending.
Luane?
Yeah. No, TC's right. It's not a slasher flick. There's actually very little real violence in this movie. There is the implication of it, or the suggestion of it, or the fear of it, or the possibility of it, but there's actually very little realized on screen at any point until you get to the end, for the most part. And it is, and I've already used it multiple times, unnerving is probably the one word you could use to describe this. Smart is the other one. It's very clearly influenced by a lot of things, but not for the most part in obvious or ridiculous ways where you're like, oh my God, yeah, I get it. You saw The Shining, or you, you know, whatever. This is something that's been created by someone influenced by ideas from things more than the execution of them, because this is its own sort of thing. And this is pretty much a one man deal from what I've seen, like the writer, director, almost everything. It's impressive to watch. It looks good. It sounds really good. The music is good. The sound design is weird and creepy. And it's what makes for a good horror movie, because it is genuinely horrifying and not in a shocking way for the most part. The cast is pretty strong, particularly the lead, who's got to carry a lot and have a lot of different emotion and a lot of different things going on. as well as looking completely dead exhausted through most of it as well. In the end, this is 3.5 out of 5 shadow people.
Robert?
I really dug it. You know, I'll save my little place next to everybody else for the end with the, no, I didn't dig the ending. I really dug the music. I really dug the editing. The performances were great. That doctor was cool. The scope is neat. The in and out of different parts of the film are great. While I didn't like the ending, what bothered me the most about it is that it was 1 hour and 45 minutes in that they decided,
yeah,
this is what happened. I feel like it could be shorter. There's a couple parts where it's really neat to be slowly trudging along behind them. But after a while, it really starts to feel that that's just what this is, which is cool. But then that ending kind of made me like, well, then why do we have to do this for 2 hours? So I love what the director did. Our House was good. It's on Netflix if everybody wants to see his film from 2018, another one with a great electronic score. I like the visuals. I really like the idea. I like the psychology and pieces of the mind and the psyche stuff he was doing. I just feel that it could have been slightly shorter. And I really hope that this guy keeps doing these real singular joints.
Yes.
What I dug the most about the film is that while he's trying to tell a story, it really seemed the entire time that it was about the viewer. You know what I mean? The characters are whatever, but there's a couple cool, really, I know at least one where a character's like, well, then you just need to tell me. And they're like, well, okay, I'll tell you, cut. That's like a cool TV trick where it's like, well, not yet, sucker, you know, whatever. And I loved all those things that it was just ever engaging. And like we talked about a couple times, the music and stuff being, you know, real in your face, and the images that we see in the dark being so wild, when it starts to spill over to other characters, it felt less like somebody reeling me out to sea as somebody slowly bringing you in, and the rope gets tighter and tighter and you hear the creak. And I really dug that. So after all of that wishy-washiness, I'm going to go 7 out of 10 days until my optometrist appointment, because I'm getting these glasses, y'all. Oh. So come back 2-3 weeks, listeners.
I mean, they were legit.
Big old blocky owl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the technical elements, the cinematography, the score. I love. Ever since I discovered Night Gallery, I've been such a fan of electronic scores. Man, what they can do, how they can shape the world of the film. And I think this is a good example, because all the elements here, it makes for such an interesting reality that's never feels right, even when it's supposed to feel like right and safe. I think that the acting is really great here. I think that everybody is really sort of pulled into this mystery that's happening here. I love to think of this more as a sci-fi than a horror film. I think it's more effective for me personally as a sci-fi. And I think maybe that's because of my history with sleep paralysis. God, how visceral that was here. How, like, they really nailed that. I think, I forget who mentioned it here, but the research done for this, man, they really did it, and it feels credible all the way through, and it feels unnerving. I love that this is not something that's laid out from beginning to end. This is a largely plotless film in a lot of ways. There is no point A, point B, point C, really. It is a bunch of ideas, and the sensation that they all like leave you with, it is unforgettable. I will say this film could have been paced better, to be honest with you. I felt there were shots where the director just wanted to soak up every last moment rather than having like a more, now we got to cut. As a result, there are a few scenes that do overstay their welcome. The ending, again, it comes out of nowhere, and it threatens to diminish and really take away what came before. It kind of does to some degree, but not enough to not recommend this film. I think this film is really great. It is really novel. Yeah, it's not going to be for casual genre fan. But I think there is definitely a huge group that will appreciate this. They won't get it. They won't understand it because it really is up to your own interpretation. But they will enjoy it, if nothing else. So I got to give this 7 out of 10 sleep study helmets that look like a cross between marshmallows and taffy. And I just wanted to like just eat that. But then I've also been in the mood for a Dairy Queen Blizzard all day long. So I just got a sweet tooth today. What can I say? Well, everyone, hope you've enjoyed this. And go to bed and sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams.
Yeah. No, go get your Blizzard. We'll see you later.
I'll see you later.